We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Newell Bringhurst. In our last episode, he mentioned the Missouri thesis. What is that exactly? He'll answer that question in the next episode. We'll also talk about Lester Bush and his groundbreaking article in 1973 that pinned the blame more on Brigham Young than on Joseph Smith. Check out our conversation. I also want to mention, it's still February, we've got our Black History Month for sale, and we've got our newest book with Russell Stevenson on his work in Africa, as well as on Elijah Abels. So I encourage you to get that. Now back to our conversation. Let's talk a little bit about the Missouri thesis. You kind of laid that out. Talked briefly about that. What is the Missouri thesis?
A good question. The Missouri thesis is the argument that the origins of Black priesthood denial go back to the Mormon problems in Missouri. Missouri is slave state, and the Latter-day Saints go into Jackson County in the early 1830s, 1831, 1832. And they're, most of them are from the north. They're northerners. They're basically Yankees, people from the northern states. So, you know, immediately there is a situation of tension that is set up between the Mormons and the Latter-day Saints with the people that are there, that have been there, have come from the south and settled in Missouri. And, you know, it's kind of a frontier state at that time. And, you know, a lot of these people have brought their slaves and so on. There aren't a huge number of slaves in Missouri. During the Civil War, it was a border state, and so it wasn't. But there was enough slavery that it was a legal institution in Missouri. And the argument of the Missouri thesis is that the Mormons coming in tended to be anti-slavery, and because they were coming from the northern part of the country. And those that were there that had maybe migrated from the south were pro-slavery. And so the Mormons, could see that this is a difficult situation. And so to try to strengthen their position in Missouri, as they saw independence as a center place for Zion, and that was where they were going to gather in the last days, you know, in the early revelations and that. And they saw Zion as independence as a place where that was going to be the final gathering place before the coming of the millennium and the end times. And so it was very important for the Mormons from that point of view. So the argument is that Joseph Smith felt it necessary to accommodate, pro-slavery position and the anti-Black position, and that in order to accommodate that, they were willing to, especially as the situation became more and more difficult, during the course of the 1830s, that they decided that they would deny Blacks the priesthood. And there are no contemporary historical documents, and the Missouri thesis is based on the sworn recollections made in the late 1870s by a couple of people who followed, who were in the church in the 1830s and followed Brigham Young after he became church leader out to Utah, Zebedee Coltrane and Abraham O. Smoot. You've probably heard both of those names. The Abraham O. Smoot Administration Building is named after Abraham O. Smoot. And they both testified that Joseph Smith started to implement Black priesthood denial during this period. And, and that was accepted as face value by people who wanted to justify that Black priesthood denial had started with Joseph Smith. Well, those documents, they question the accuracy of their recollections.
Do you remember approximately what year these statements were made by Zebedee?
1879.
So this is
years later. So you have to be very careful when you use personal recollections. That's in any kind of history. That's one of the major pitfalls that a historian can fall into, is relying on reminiscences, but the further you get away from the event itself, the less reliable reminiscences become. And so you can see that you're going from the mid 1830s all the way down to 1879, but that was kind of accepted at face value by leaders within the church, because by the time these statements were being made, the church was moving toward hardening their policy toward blacks. I mean, you had people like Elijah Abel, who had actually been ordained, who wanted his temple blessings, temple endowments, people like Jane James. And so there was a lot of, there was this kind of background noise that was taking place with these blacks, and just questioning, when did the policy start? And these are the only two people that come forward and say, well, it started with Joseph Smith. Nobody else that was, you know, contemporaries with Joseph Smith at that time made similar statements. And for obvious, for several reasons, their statements were considered less than valid, less than reliable, but nevertheless, they were still accepted. I mean, for instance, Abraham O. Smoot himself was a slaveholder. A lot of people don't realize he owned two black slaves of his own. And Zebedee Coltrane was known for being having an anti-black bias. And he was he talks about Elijah Abel in a very negative term, saying that I had to lay my hands upon him and give him a blessing. I never had such an awful feeling in my whole life. So both of those people have questionable credibility, but nevertheless, I mean, they were accepted as, when they read back into the history of the church, when later, church leaders come along, they take at face value the statements of Zebedee Coltrane and Abraham O. Smoot. And so did the historians, including Fawn Brody, who just assumed unquestionably that the policy started in the 1830s as a result of the problems they were having in Missouri to accommodate themselves to the pro-slavery Missouri environment. And then Stephen Taggart comes along with a little book that's published in 1969, Mormonism's Negro Policy, published by University of Utah Press. And he echoes that argument, and he quotes from the Smoot Coltrane. It was received as the first, major scholarly treatment of the black issue. It comes in the middle of all the controversy that is emerging in the late 60s, early 70s. And then Lester Bush comes along, and he's doing even a lot more intense research than Taggart did. Taggart research was, not that deep and not that thorough. In the meantime, Lester Bush has been working assiduously several years on his study of blacks in the church. And he's asked to write a review of Taggart's book. And it turns out that it's a review essay published in Dialogue in 1970. And his review essay is longer and more thorough than Taggart's original book. I mean, that's the upstart. I'm sure you're familiar with it. You've probably read both side by side. And there's no comparison with regard to the thoroughness and the rigor of the sources utilized and the way that it was written. And then, of course, Bush comes along 3 years, 4 years later with his definitive dialogue article, Mormonism's Negro Policy. That is the classic, the first real, what I consider the legitimately scholarly examination of the issue, the path-breaking article that we all, that those of us that came after him, owe him a lot for, myself, Armin Moss and all those who came after me.
Mm-hmm. So do you remember what the name of that 1970 article was that critiques Tiger Woods?
Yeah, it was just sort of a kind of a review essay or a critique. I can't remember the exact title of Stephen. I think it's Stephen G. Taggart's Mormonism's Negro Policy. It's just like a review essay.
Okay.
And it was, yeah.
So this 1973 article was really groundbreaking.
It was.
And it basically shut down this Missouri thesis idea.
It was pretty much discredited by that time. Nobody really went back to it.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, when I started to do my research, I carefully went back and thoroughly went through all of the newspapers and the documents that were available to me in the church historical department, going back and seeing if there was any indication that the Missouri thesis could be anywhere substantiated. And it just wasn't there. There was nothing there that would substantiate that it started.
So what are some of the things that Lester Bush did to kind of dispute this Missouri thesis idea?
Well, he said that he'd gone through a lot of the same newspaper sources that I had, only, you know, he had kind of gone over some of the ground, not quite as thoroughly as I did, because I tried to go back and go through the newspapers issue by issue, and I think he relied on the material that had been available in earlier studies. One of the things that he did discover in the process of doing his research was that there was a treasure trove of materials that was done by Banyan. I think it was Adam S. Banyan, had been commissioned by David O. McKay in 1954 to go back and see what historical evidence there was to support the beginnings of black priesthood denial. And he went back and looked at church minutes. He went back and had done a lot of groundbreaking research, particularly in First Presidency minutes and stuff like that. And he discovered, and Lester Bush built his essay on the 73 essay, was that the church leaders following Brigham Young's death had questioned whether Joseph Smith started the policy, despite what was being said, what had been said in the Coltrane Smoot papers, because they questioned, even back then, those early church leaders contemporaneously with Smoot and Coltrane questioned whether the accuracy of what they said. And that came out in looking, because Adam Banyan had access to First Presidency minutes and discussions and that from the following Brigham Young's death and going into the early 20th century, because they were trying to figure out, did Joseph Smith start this policy? Because this was a discussion that went back and forth. And then finally and that's one of the contributions that Lester Bush's article makes, is that even that early church leaders were unsure that, they questioned whether Joseph Smith actually started the policy, because those people could come along later. Most of these were, this was the next generation of Mormon leaders. This was after Brigham Young's death, in 1877. And the clincher was that Brigham Young himself, during his lifetime, never ever attributed the policy to Joseph Smith. And he was a contemporary of Joseph Smith. Anybody was going to, since he inaugurated the policy, to give it out of legitimacy, just like he did with polygamy, he would have cited, well, there's 132 for polygamy. Is there a comparable document or statement or even remembering that Joseph Smith, the way that Smoot and Coltrane claimed to remember, was there a comparable document or recollection of Joseph Smith starting the policy. He never attributed it to Joseph Smith. Quite to the contrary. In fact, he makes a statement that indicates that he started the policy, actually admitting that. He says, if no other prophet ever said this, I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, the blacks are not eligible to hold the priesthood. I mean, to me, that's the clincher. That that shows that
this is about 1852.
This is in 1850 in the early 1850s when the policy is put into place. He makes that definitive of a statement, and so he is virtually admitting that in so many words that I started this policy. It wasn't started by Joseph Smith.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Newell Bringhurst. You probably remember in our previous conversation with Russell Stevenson, he talked about a former slave by the name of Warner McCary. We'll talk more about Warner in our next episode, as well as his white wife, Lucy Stanton. Newell Bringhurst gives a brief summary about the amazing story.
And so when she comes back to Utah after serving her 7 years of hard labor at Sing Sing, she's reunited and she's rebaptized in the church, and she's resumed her Mormon identity.
Wow.
It's a stranger than fiction story. You couldn't make this stuff up.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you like our page on facebook.com/gospeltangents. You can subscribe at YouTube at youtube.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter @gospeltangents, as well as make sure that you subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our videos. Thanks again.